I am always intrigued by words. I'm one of those folks that like to see a word and realize I don't really know what it means and go find the meaning of the word. A word that I had forgotten. When I looked it up, I figured out what it was. But a word that I had forgotten is this word, autostereogram. Autostereogram. How many of you know what that is, by the way? Yeah. I'll tell you what it is. You'll remember this. I don't see it much right now, but it kind of one of those things that comes and goes. But you see this picture. Sometimes it's a small one. Sometimes it's very large. And there's this picture, and there's nothing except like a very, very busy wallpaper picture. Every space completely full, and it's all alike. It's kind of a sameness to it on that picture. And then, if you look at it just right, you'll see a 3D image emerge from a two-dimensional picture. Now, how many of you have ever seen those things? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, let's do a quick poll. How many of you, when you see those, how many of you can see the other image pretty quickly? Let's see. How many of you, you never see it? I mean, you just never see it. Okay, that's kind of what I thought. I was looking at this a day or two ago, sitting at my kitchen table. Debbie was on the other end. She was working on her teaching time that she does on Sunday evening. And I had not told her what I was doing. And so my computer screen was there, and I was right up against it. And I will tell you, I was looking a little bug-eyed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, wall-eyed. I think that's the word. Because for me, you got to look through it. You can't look at it. You got to look through it as if you're looking at something about, you know, 6 inches beyond that. And so she looks at me from down the table and she said, "What is wrong with you?" Now, that's not the first time she's asked that question, but because she thought something was wrong with my eyes. And I said, "No, I'm looking at this picture." Listen to me. Spiritually, I want you to get this. The whole world can be divided into those who have seen the light and those who have not. The whole world is divided into those that say, "I see it. I can see it." I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And people say, "I see it." And others with honesty say, "I don't see it. I don't see it." And by the way, some of you are here. Because in this room with me, we can divide into two groups. And one of them would say, "I have seen the light." And some would say, "I'm not going to play the pretend game. I just don't see it. I don't see it." 2 weeks ago, I preached a message from John's Gospel. Some of you will remember it. And in that early part of John's Gospel, and specifically in verse 5, John said, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend or overcome it." So I declare to you again, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. I don't hesitate to say that. As I shared with you 2 weeks ago on that, I simply gave you 3 mind-strengthening truths. Some of you were here. Darkness is expected. Jesus shines, celebrate it. Light wins, anticipate it. And I thank God for that. Now, I will tell you, for some people, for me to stand before them and say I have seen the light sounds arrogant. Because it may very well be that you would interpret that as meaning, "I'm smarter than you." That's not what it means. "I'm better than you." That's not what it means. No, my friend. I am very humble when I say, "I have seen the light." Now listen to me. Had not there been 2 realities that came into my life, I would still be in darkness. I would still have to say, I just don't see it. And today I want to share with you those two realities. The two realities that came together in my own life when I was just a boy. And I saw the light. And I stand before you today with humility of heart to say, I have seen the light. I've seen Jesus. But two realities made that possible. If you'll take your Bible, I'll show them to you. In Paul's second letter, at least it's so numbered in our Bible, second letter to the Corinthians. Second Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 4. Now, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a reality that I deal with and that we as the church deals with. Some see it, some don't. And it would be appropriate to say why. Well, I will tell you that there are two realities. And I will also tell you that when we're through here in just a few moments, I have two desires. One is that every one of us who have seen the light have an opportunity to celebrate, to rejoice, because we have seen the light. But the other opportunity is for those who right now, in this room with me or listening by radio, right now, in this next 20 minutes or so, would be able to come to the place that they are able to say with integrity, I have seen the light. And to move from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, those are worthy objectives. You have your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We pick up verse 3. Now, let's go with verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're ready now for verse 3, and this is at the heart of it. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul's simply dealing with this reality. Some see, some don't. And there was a time that I was in that second category. That is, I couldn't see it. I didn't see it, and I was spiritually blind. And yet what I'm saying to you this day is this. Two realities came into my life. And when those two realities coincided in my life and in my heart, I saw the light. I have seen the light. So with your Bible open, because I want you to see this, I want to show you what those two realities are. Now, to set the stage, look at the desperate condition that is pictured in verses 3 and 4. Your Bible's still open. I want to walk back through that with you. Verses 3 and 4. And Paul uses images that are powerful here. He says, for those who are unable to see, those who are blind, those who are in the dark, and that certainly included me, he says their minds are veiled. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of that, but I typically immediately think of people, and especially ladies in other cultures, who, when they go out, they wear the veil. And you cannot see anything of their facial features because of the veil. Well, I doubt that Paul had that in mind. Maybe he had in mind the veil of the temple, because that veil was there to prevent a holy man from looking into the presence of a holy God, to demonstrate the dynamic and drastic difference between us and him. And only the high priest could go in, and he could only go in one day a year and had to make all the right preparations because God is a holy God. But he talks here about people whose the gospel is veiled to them. It's opaque. They can't see it. Well, that's not all. Verse 4, he tells us why this happens. The God of this age has blinded them. That's Satan. I want you to see the hopelessness of this picture. People who, it's veiled, they cannot see it. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded them. We're not through. Who do not believe, there may be some willfulness in that. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And if I summarize all of that, it will be the word in verse 3 that says, they're perishing. Perishing. You say, man, if that is true, then much of the world is in deep trouble. And you're absolutely right. But let me tell you now, there are two realities in this text. And if they come together, then there will be people in this hour who will say, I've seen the light. I've seen the light. So let me show you that first reality. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Now you understand? That's the echo from creation. That's the echo from creation. Because in creation, what did God do? What did God do in creation? What God did was he stepped out on nothing and said, help me, let there be light. And guess what? There was. There was. God, out of nothing, created everything. And you know what we call that? Miracle. Miracle. But look back at verse 6. Because the miracle is still happening. Look what he says. He says it's that same God, the same God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Here it is, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When I was a 12-year-old boy and I got down on my knees and I asked for forgiveness, I'm telling you, I saw the light. It was not a physical light, it was a spiritual light, but I saw the light. And it was a miracle of biblical proportions. In fact, this room is filled with miracles. This room is filled with miracles. Everyone who has seen the light because of the miracle of God's grace. Miracle. I was 17 years old when I began to direct the choir and lead the congregational singing at the Baptist Church in Highlandville, Missouri. And one of the traditions for many years during that time period, for many years, was every year at Christmas and Easter, we did a John W. Peterson cantata. How many of you have ever done a John W. Peterson cantata? Absolutely, man. That man was prolific in his writing. I still remember most of them, still love most of them. But one of his songs that I think was sung most notably by George Beverly Shea, the course of it goes like this. It took a miracle to put the stars in space.
It took a miracle to hang the world in place. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Listen to me. The only reason I can stand before you and tell you that I have seen the light is because it took a miracle. It took a miracle of God's grace. And for you to move from darkness to light, for you to move from the kingdom and the domain of Satan to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it will take a miracle, but God is still doing miracles. Hallelujah. So it took a miracle. And you might say, well, that's it. No, not really, because we got verse 5. Huh? We got verse 5. See, God also has a means that He used. The miracle of grace is that one who is spiritually blind can see. We got that. Okay. But now, what is the means of grace? How does God accomplish this? You say, well, He just steps out and says, let there be light. Not quite. Because of verse 5. Verse 5. Listen to it. Paul said, we do not preach ourselves. Pause. I think there are people that still preach themselves. I think there are churches that still preach themselves. I believe there are cultures that still preach themselves. As if you got to be born in America to be right with God. And we all know that's not so. Paul says, we don't preach ourselves. But what does he do? Verse 5. We preach, I'm putting that back in, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus the Lord. Say it with me. Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. Now, I don't want you to miss this. For me to be able to stand before you today and say, I have seen the light. It took a miracle. Everybody with me? It took a miracle. It did for you too if you've seen it. It will for you if you're going to see it. But that miracle came to pass because it also took a message. It took a message. The means of grace is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to take your Bible, your own Bible if you've got it, and turn back to 1 Corinthians very quickly. In 1 Corinthians, I want you to see what Paul said as he wrote that first letter in chapter 1, right near the beginning of that. Listen to what Paul said. I think it's so powerful. Verse 21, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, here we go. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God, here it is, through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Listen to me. If you are here and listening today, or you hear by radio, you have to have a miracle to see the face of Jesus Christ, to see Him in saving faith. That's a miracle. But you also got to have the message. The message. I stand before you today in a position as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I come today to preach as faithfully as I know the gospel. And when I preach the gospel, when you read the gospel, when you hear the gospel, the miracle begins to take place in people's lives. And in the next 5 minutes, somebody's going to say, I have seen the light. You say, that's going to be when I come to the altar. No, no, you ought to do that. But I'm telling you, my friend, the light shines through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes a miracle. It takes a message. It takes a miracle. It takes a message. So when I preach faithfully the gospel, something happens. Either your heart hardens and you reject the light, or by God's grace you see the light. So I stand before you today and I preach Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord, born of the Virgin Mary. I stand before you and I preach Christ Jesus the Lord, living that sinless life. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, crucified for the sins of the world and for your sins and for mine. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, resurrected from the dead. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, seen by over 500 of His followers. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, ascended to the Father. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, sending the Holy Spirit. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, coming again on clouds of glory. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, winning the final battle with Satan and his demons. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, reigning forever and ever and ever and ever. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. And as I preach, the light shines. And it has nothing to do with me in the final analysis. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't preach myself. I preach Jesus Christ the Lord, and I'm simply a bond servant of my Lord. And here's the truth, that when we repent of our sins and we put our faith and trust in that Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, when I put my trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, then the light shines. Oh, the means of revelation, the means of salvation, the means of grace is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that means here in this room today, and those who will listen by radio, I fully expect somebody already has experienced the miracle. It's already happened. You've already moved from darkness to light. You've already moved from death to life. All that remains is to testify of the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Somebody turning from sin. Somebody trusting Jesus. Somebody who can now say, by God's grace, I have seen the light. And if you've seen the light, thank God for the miracle and the message. And if you've not seen the light, thank God for the opportunity to repent and to receive Christ as your Savior. And I invite you to come rejoicing. I invite you to come rejoicing. We often think of an invitation as kind of a somber and solemn moment, and sometimes it is. But I got to believe that many that came to the light and came to Jesus came running with the biggest smile you have ever seen on their face. They come rejoicing because why? I have seen the light. Would you bow with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. For those who are able, would you slip to your feet now, just standing quietly before the Lord. Standing before the Lord.